Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha. Welcome to Talking Pictures. This is the Oscar Wrap episode, part one. We will be doing a second Oscar Wrap with the Film Fatales. They'll be discussing their mission in film and diversity, and we'll get their take on films. Again, we're not separating men and women, but we'd love to hear the different point of views. Interesting Oscar year. I have to say I was a little bit disappointed. There just didn't seem to be as much pizzazz as there usually was. I can't say I was mad by, I don't know, I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to address it. I don't believe in race, I don't believe in color, I don't believe in creed, so we'll just leave it at that. I thought Chris Rock did a great job as a host. I was a little bit surprised by some of the winners here, as we're going to go through some of them. For those of you who have Netflix streaming, you can watch the best documentary short subject called Last Day of Freedom. It did not win, but you can still see it. And when do we ever get to see these films? So that's a pretty cool thing. Cinematography Oscar, obviously the third for Emmanuel Lubezki. He won for Gravity, Birdman, and now The Revenant. And hold on one sec, we have our special guest. I'll introduce him once he's on. Hello, Miles, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Miles, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir.
Thank you. Well, I had just been I just went through just mentioning some of the winners, but I want to turn it over to you. If you had a category where you were really excited, or if you had a category where you felt like it was maybe a wrong choice?
Sure. Well, let's start with surprises. And in terms of the winners, there weren't many. The show itself was quite surprising and unpredictable in a way that no Oscar telecast in recent memory has been. But in terms of the winners, I thought there were a couple of surprises from the visual effects win for Ex Machina, which I think most pundits thought would go to Mad Max, which was sweeping up all the technical awards and wound up with 6 awards total. Supporting actor, Mark Rylance, winning over Sylvester Stallone. Mark Rylance for his work in Bridge of Spies, beating Stallone's work in Creed. And Stallone was really, I think, the sentimental favorite, and a lot of people thought it was trending in his direction. A lot of people were looking forward to his speech. But alas, it wasn't to be. Mark Rylance was really wonderful in Bridge of Spies and deserving of the award, although I thought Stallone did some of his best work in Creed. So that one was a toughie for me. I think the actual who I would have voted for in that category was Christian Bale in The Big Short. I thought he was absolutely fantastic, and he just continues to impress with his work. So that would have been my pick, but I think Mark Rylance was certainly deserving. And then the Best Picture winner. I think a lot of people were stunned that it was Spotlight. This was a kind of a weird year if you're trying to predict based on earlier awards ceremonies who's going to win the Oscar, because, you know, the SAG Award for Ensemble did go to Spotlight. But then the DGA chose Iñárritu and The Revenant. And then the PGA, which is commonly the very best predictor of who's going to win Best Picture, went to The Big Short. So I think there was a lot of thinking in the industry that Best Picture would either be The Revenant or The Big Short. And Spotlight swooped in and won it. It's a brilliant, brilliant film, and it was really heartening for me to see an old-school character drama with a bit of social relevance, a lot of social relevance, I should say, take home that award. I mean, Spotlight is kind of a throwback to the great character dramas of the 1970s in a way. And Big Short was equally strong for different reasons, I thought, and either one would have been deserving of the award. But it was gratifying for me to see Spotlight take home the Best Picture award. I think a lot of people were surprised by it, though, quite frankly.
I was actually voting for Room or Spotlight because I just thought Room was such the bare bones of a camera and actor in a room, supporting actor. I was actually shocked. I totally thought it was going to be Stallone, but then, like you said, Mark Rylance, for some reason I forgot when they announced him how good he was. And not to give out any spoilers, but he just has this simple performance. It's not bravado. It's not, hey, look at me. I think he has some of the best one-liners I've ever seen in cinema. That whole, why would I worry? But yeah, that's a great assessment, Miles. And I think we all kind of knew Leo and Brie Larson were going to take it. I was surprised that the Danish girl took, I don't want to pronounce her name, Alicia Vilkender. Steve Jobs. I know we had talked about that.
I think that was that one was really I think one of the toss ups of the night going in. Alicia Vikander had won several preliminary awards, but then Kate Winslet had sort of been coming on with some critics awards here closer to the awards ceremony. So I really thought Kate Winslet might overtake her in the final balloting, but it was not to be. I thought Kate's performance was, it would have been my pick, but Alicia Vikander was wonderful as well. So that really was one that I think could have gone either way. As you say, I think Leo and Brie Larson and Iñárritu really were slam dunks. We knew those were going to happen. But supporting actress was one that there was still a little bit of drama there.
Right. I mean, I really want to see, I didn't notice 5 years, and I really want to track that down now. But since you are a writer, producer, director yourself, and an actor, I'm really interested in it because, see, I have epilepsy and I have an eye condition that I couldn't watch Mad Max. So I felt so out of Best Director, Best Picture, but given your experience, what would have been your call for Best Director?
I think I would have gone with Adam McKay for The Big Short. It's really hard to say because The Revenant and Mad Max are both technical marvels. They're gorgeous to look at, beautifully photographed. Mad Max is of course beautifully choreographed in its car chases and its stunts. I mean, the film itself, Mad Max, I mean, didn't blow me away, quite frankly. But I certainly understand how it did move people, and it is certainly deserving of the technical accolades. No question about that. I love the fact that it places a female character front and center, Charlize Theron's character. But The Revenant too. Look, it's beautiful. It's well acted. But at the end of the day, it's a glorified man versus nature movie, in my opinion. I kept listening to Leo talk about how it was transcendent, and I just didn't find it to be so. The Big Short, I thought, was truly powerful and unique, and biting, and funny, and so many things. Well scripted, and I thought the way that film was put together, the way it was cut, the pacing of it, the performances. It's a little flashier than Spotlight, and so I probably would have leaned to to Adam McKay over Tom McCarthy for who directed Spotlight. But the fact of the matter is, all of those directors, including Lenny Abramson from Room, were deserving. I mean, it was a very, very strong category. But, you know, Iñárritu pulled it out again for, you know, they used natural lighting and they did a lot of things that everyone knew it was Leo's year. I think a lot of people got swept up in that, and Iñárritu was the beneficiary of that. This is hardly the accomplishment, in my view, that Birdman was last year, but I think he was able to ride the momentum of Leo's year and take home his second Best Director Oscar in a row.
Yeah, because I know the cinematographer won his third in a row. He won his third ASC in a row. He won his third BAFTA in a row. But with director, of course, my opinion is 80% since I couldn't watch Mad Max. But as I look at these, it's interesting because I want to look it up. If I remember correctly, I'd have to Google it, but I believe there's less than a handful. I know Ang Lee for Life of Pi and Ang Lee for, what was that movie? Life of Pi. He directed two in the last 10 years where he won Best Director and it didn't win Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'd have to look it up, I think there's like five, if not even 10, where the director gets the directing Oscar and the picture goes somewhere else, because that's usually the Best Director has the Best Picture. So that's what I found interesting when they said The Big Short for Adam McKay and then went to Spotlight. Now, just to veer a tiny tad off, because you are a PhD in religion studies and many other things. And again, this is my opinion and your opinions are your opinions. I kind of felt like the part of the Spotlight win, so much politics and so much controversy that it was almost like there had to be a stand that we don't support what the movie was about.
Hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean, as somebody that's...
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that Brokeback Mountain was the other win for Ang Lee, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
yeah, that.
And I think the biggest surprise, one of the biggest surprises ever was the year that Spielberg won Best Director for Saving Private Ryan and then Shakespeare in Love won Best Picture. That was
Those
was another
other-
year.
Thank you, Miles, for bringing that.
But with regard to the politics, it was certainly the most socially conscious Oscars in recent memory. And who knows if that played some role. You know, you had Lady Gaga's very powerful song, Till It Happens. You had Joe Biden out talking about... sexual assault and awareness and that over and above the diversity issue, which was front and center. So yes, I think Spotlight played well into that narrative, but I also thought it was an excellent film.
Yeah. I mean, did you get to see all of the, I mean, I can obviously tell you some, most of the nominees. I was lucky other than, I did catch, and let me just announce this real quick, the best documentary short subject is on Netflix. It's called The Last Day of Freedom. It didn't win, but I got a PR email, nominees looking for interviews, and then I asked them to share this because I feel like we don't ever really get to see the documentary unless we find an art house in LA. We miss the short animations. We miss the short films unless them. So for all you out there that want to see what one of the documentary short subjects was, it's Last Days of Freedom, and it is on Netflix streaming. Please check it out, although it did not win. Another interest that thing that I want to get your opinion on, Miles, is that I was literally shocked, and I guess I can't speak completely because of Mad Max, but I was really thought a shoe-in for at minimum Star Wars for visual effects.
Yeah, I mean, and that was Andrew Whitehurst's win for Ex Machina for visual effects. That was, to me, in the three most surprising moments of the night. I thought most people thought that would go to Mad Max or Star Wars. And here's this little film by Hollywood standards, Ex Machina, taking that home. So that was a big surprise. In a way heartening that, you know, I loved Star Wars, The Force Awakens, but in a way heartening that, you know, these big budget studio films were beaten by a comparatively small film, Ex Machina, for visual effects. And having the most money doesn't necessarily mean having the best visual effects, which is kind of weird in this day and age, you know. So that was a big surprise, Ex Machina. I don't think anybody would have predicted that.
Yeah, I mean, I had just heard about it about a week before. My friend asked me why I hadn't seen it, and I hadn't actually heard of it because I was so. This was an interesting Oscar year because it seemed like nothing swept, and it seemed like it just seemed to be Mad Max, this, that, this, and it didn't seem like there really seemed to be, you know, when you have those years where six wins of six, or cinematography, since we had briefly went over that, I was able to see all these films. To me, Carol just wasn't my taste to say that it should have won, but I thought I guess I didn't see Mad Max, but Hateful Eight, The Revenant, and Sicario, I all thought were brilliant. Robert Richardson, Emmanuel Lubezki, and of course, the living Yoda, who I hope he gets an Oscar someday, Roger Deakins. I just don't know how long they're going to wait to give this guy an Oscar. Sicario was even a good film. Where were you at in the cinematography area?
I loved Carol. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I really did. I beautifully shot. Edward Lachman, who is not as legendary as some of the people in this category, obviously, the great Roger Deakins. Sicario is another of my favorite films of the year, would have been in my top five of the year. So that was really tough for me. I thought both of those films were quite lovely. I just love the way the tone and the feel and the colors and the of Carol. I mean, it felt like an Edward Hopper painting in a lot of respects. It was just really, really beautiful. And Sicario, I loved for different reasons. And yes, I mean, you know, although Lubezki is obviously brilliant at what he does, and The Revenant was beautifully photographed, man, when I kept hearing about how Leonardo DiCaprio is overdue, I mean, Roger Deakins is truly overdue. I mean, somebody give that guy an Academy Award. The other films, again, Mad Max, it's gorgeous, but I don't think... I think it lives and dies really on its choreography, on its production design. I don't think it's necessarily a film where cinematography is it's beautiful, but I don't know if it's a film where cinematography is really front and center. Its production design win was really well deserved, I thought, and a lot of its other technical elements, sound design, for example. Whereas you look at a film like Carol, or you look at a film like Sicario, or The Revenant, cinematography is front and center in those films. I mean, the visuals in those films, the way they're shot, the way the camera moves, the lighting, it's so critical to what the film is. I mean, in a way, to me, The Revenant's cinematography is the star of the show, more so than what Leo is doing. It was a really, really beautiful film in that regard. So, I mean, the Lubezki Oscar is, I don't have a problem with it. Personally, I would have liked to have seen probably Lachman win for Carol, knowing that, you know, Roger Deakins is long overdue.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's like the master of, they did it with Paul Newman in 85. They gave him a humanitarian award, and then in 86 he got the Oscar, and then Henry Fonda got a Lifetime Achievement Oscar, and then the next year he won for On Golden Pond. So I just have this feeling that they're going to give Deakins a honorary award, and then the next year he's going to win.
Look at Ennio Morricone last night, right? I mean,
yeah, I saw that.
Winning his first Oscar for score. I mean, how long has that guy been doing great work?
Yeah, the Eddie Westerns, yes.
Yeah.
No. I mean, this was for me. I landed most of my picks, other than Bridge of Spies, really screwed me up. I do appreciate Creed. I appreciated Stallone. I do appreciate you for when you had messaged me to say definitely see it, that it's different. But there's just that tiny part of me where all Oscar winners or ones that have won multiple just aren't Stallone. And I'm not talking bad, but I just felt like I wanted someone besides Stallone. So when they announced it, I thought it was kind of, even though I totally appreciated his work, it was the first time I really tolerated him as Rocky.
Yeah.
It came out, that was very worthy. Another thing, Miles, when Chris Rock said Michael B. Jordan, who should have been another nominee, as we look at the Best Actor nominees, and again, Miles nor I is racist, so I'm going to pretense this with where I'm going. I got frustrated when they talked about there not being an actor because, A, to me, Concussion was not up to par with Trumbo, Steve Jobs, and then to say Michael B. Jordan, he's new. He'll have his time. He proved that he could hold his own with Stallone and carry a movie, but he was no Leonardo DiCaprio. Danish Girl, when they talk about diversity, I mean, a guy wanting to become a woman, that's diversity. And then when they complain about Trumbo and Jobs, it's like, well, respectfully, they were white guys.
So, yeah, well, I mean, the question is, if you're going to put Michael B. Jordan in there, who are you going to take out?
Right.
Who are you going to take out? Yeah.
I don't think there's any room to take out. Did you feel like there could have been a room to take out?
I did not. I felt like probably these were the five strongest performances of the year. I mean, Matt Damon's work, I don't think quite approaches the level of what everyone else in this category is doing. It's just a little more straightforward. But, you know, let's face it, Matt Damon has had a great career and continues to do solid work. And The Martian is a good film, a very entertaining film, and was very well received in the industry. But Cranston and Fassbender and Redmayne and Leo, I mean, this is some hardcore performances here. I mean, I just don't know who you would have removed. Michael B. Jordan is a younger guy, as you say. He's a wonderful actor, no question. I have no doubt that at some point he will get his due. But I think I agree with you. I just don't think it's quite his time yet.
Yeah, I mean, I solely just looked at it as by taking Trumbo and Steve Jobs out, you're already down to 60%. And by taking Revenant out, you're down to 40%. And I thought Eddie Redmayne was amazing. I didn't think he'd pull off two in a row. So I think you made a really good assessment of The Martian might have been the only pull away. Because to me, like, it was Castaway in space.
Yeah. Agreed.
But is there, I know, one last thing. The adapted and screenplay, what did you think about those categories?
I thought that those were exactly the right choices. Spotlight and Big Short in the screenplay categories. Firstly, those are my two favorite films of the year. And, you know, a great film begins with a great script. And both of those scripts were, I thought, masterful. So that would have, those would have been my choices for sure. And let me just say, with regard to the diversity thing, I think that it's an industry issue. It's not an Oscars issue. And there were a couple of performances. Jason Mitchell comes to mind. His work is Eazy-E in NWA, in Straight Outta Compton. I thought he was masterful in that film. And I mean, that's really the performance that I think stands out to me that really could have snuck in. But again, supporting actor was stacked too. I think Idris Elba and Beasts of No Nation, I think that film was hurt because of the way Netflix handled its release. It wasn't a traditional release, theatrical release, the way Oscar voters are used to. I thought it didn't exactly have the right campaign for the Oscars, so I think that was less a diversity issue and more just a logistics issue for that particular film. I mean, Idris is obviously a brilliant actor. But look, I mean, the fact of the matter is there need to be more films being made that put minorities front and center. And I think if there were, the Academy, certainly now after this has been brought to the fore, would embrace them.
Right, you know, my fear is I'm in complete agreement with you, but then since it's Will Smith, Jamie Foxx, Forest Whitaker, Michael B. Jordan up and coming, I get concerned how the next thing is going to be, well, there's only five actors that they pick. And those are all Oscar winners. And, Straight Outta Compton, I watched three or four times. I thought that was a superb film. I know you're a few years younger than me, but I grew up about 15 minutes away from where all that stuff was going on. My brother was listening to NWA. I was never allowed to listen to it. And so as a biopic, I'd have to sit down for about a half hour and think of a better biopic. That just so many nuances of the crack epidemic. I lost an uncle to overdosing on drugs and crack. So that was just so authentic. And that's who I was pulling for with Best Screenplay. Because, yes, Spotlight is truth, and Bridge of Spies did go on. I don't know if that was – I mean, yeah, of course, it was the Kennedy thing. But I just saw I grew up in the area where that – I mean, I lost my uncle to this, Straight out of Compton, gang violence, and crack dealership. So it kind of hit more home. And I really thought it was going to win. Last thing, what did you think of Chris Rock?
I thought Chris Rock, for the most part, did a really fine job. He came out and he addressed the issue head on right out of the gate. I thought his his jokes were the right combination of socially relevant and biting and goofy and funny, and he was able to sort of pepper in some really humane moments, like his selling his daughter's Girl Scout cookies. Everything didn't land perfectly. I mean, the Stacey Dash thing I thought was weird, and it was kind of a clunker. And there was the occasional thing like that. Putting the black actors in the nominated films, like putting Tracy Morgan in The Danish Girl, and I thought that stuff was really fun. I enjoyed the interviews he did with out in Compton, outside the movie theater in Compton. I thought those were quite funny. So I would say I would give him an A-. I really enjoy Chris Rock, and you know, I kind of wish he would host the Oscars every year, because at the very least, it's a little unpredictable. It's a little edgy. It feels a little less studied and a little less dull than these. I mean, there were no jokes last night about how dull this thing is, right? Which you commonly get when you go into hour three. But with Chris Rock, you don't get that. You never know what might come next, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. We were all sitting around being like, I don't remember the Oscars being this boring. Like, what's going on? Like, it's cool to see some things. And I love how Chris Rock, the second he stepped on stage, he had a white tuxedo on.
Yep, yep.
I just loved how that was like, okay, we're going to get it out of the air. We're people, and just, let's do the show. And I just thought that was probably one of the most genius jokes that he did.
I totally agree. And you know what I also enjoyed? I thought his treatment was very even-handed. I mean, I think he landed some pretty harsh jokes about the industry and about Hollywood. He came right out and said, you know, is Hollywood racist? Damn right they are. But at the same time, he gave Jada Pinkett hell for boycotting, you know? And I thought one of the great jokes of the night when he said, you know, that's like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I thought that was one of the better jokes of the night.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was actually my favorite joke, because she's only there when her husband's nominated. She's not like your Spielberg, who's there every year, or your, you know, those normal faces you see every year, Meryl Streep, whether she's nominated or not. And I just love, he pinned it on, you know, if you're going to call this, if you're going to do this call to arms and cause this controversy and you're not here, then what is it, you know, what does it achieve? And did you see Concussion?
I did not see Concussion, unfortunately, no.
Okay, yeah, so I would suggest that, and I would really like to talk to you about it off the air once you get around to it, because I watched all the nominees in a week, and then I watched Concussion, and it just didn't. Maybe you could have taken the Danish Girl out, but then that would have started that there's no LGBT diversity. So it was kind of like no win, because he wasn't as good as DiCaprio. He wasn't as good as Jobs or Trumbo. Again, like you said, maybe they could have moved out the Martian. A friend of mine said social relevance, which I agreed. But I felt that they had already kind of overdone the social relevance, because the blacklisting of Trumbo, and let's face it, Jobs has killed the handshake and the getting together for lunch. So to me, that was incredibly relevant. I mean, I've actually lost friends because Facebook and computers and people don't want to respond to your text instead of just talking it out. And I blame Steve Jobs for that, not in a derogatory way, but all this great technology he's given us. Sure, it blesses us with right now we can talk on a show in two different sides of the country. But on the other hand, it's like, marriages are ending in text, friendships. So for me, I just like the categories overall, and I appreciate you taking the time to go through this. I was really interested in what you thought. And then the last thing, it's up to you, and it's you know, I don't have a choice either way, but would you like to mention anything about your potential return
To your show?
Yeah, to our show, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I would very much hope to be back on the show soon, talking about my own film, The Hollow. We have recently formalized a distribution agreement with a wonderful company called Uncorked Entertainment. We're going to be very shortly here, probably in the next couple of weeks, announcing our world festival premiere. And ironing out the details of our formal release, which will be in the fall. We'll be in theaters, at least in major markets. We'll be shortly thereafter out on DVD, Blu-ray, streaming, you name it. But I would love to come on and talk about The Hollow at greater length and our plans for it as we roll it out starting a little later this spring.
Excellent. And please feel free to bring on a cast member or anything that you guys can discuss. It's more than welcome. And we're glad to have you back. I guess this is the third time. So I'm really excited about this film. I want to let people know it's on iTunes, right? The Historian?
The Historian is on iTunes. It's on Amazon. It's on Google Play, Hulu, Xbox, Steam, any of the major streaming platforms, you can find it. Just plug in The Historian movie and you should be able to track it down. It's gotten some really lovely customer reviews, audience reviews on those sites, on iTunes and on Amazon. And it's heartening to see people have been moved by it, especially people who have any connection to academia. They say, hey, wow, you really seem to have gotten it here. So, yes, please check out my first film, The Historian, starring the great William Sadler and John Cullum, on any of those major streaming sites. And keep an eye out for The Hollow. It's coming. Like us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page where you can follow news as things are developing. We're on Twitter at the Hollow Movie. So check us out. Keep tabs on what we're doing. I can't wait to share this, my second film, with the movie going public. I think it's going to be well received.
Oh yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it, and maybe I can bug the director for an autographed copy, but we'll talk about that later.
Sounds good, sir.
Thank you so much for stopping by Miles today, and you have a wonderful day today.
You too, Paul. Good talk.
Take care and aloha.
Bye-bye.
That was Miles Doliak talking Oscars with us. Highly intelligent man, PhD, wonderful guy to talk to. This is the third time we had him on the show. We did a take two. We covered his film, The Historian. And all I can say is he will be back in the future. So stay tuned, because this is a really good filmmaker, good actor in theater. He plays music. He's a PhD. And we always love having him. That's going to sign it off for me. It's the day after the Oscars, but no matter what, I'm always going to say, make sure and watch a good movie tonight. Aloha.